Well, we've been talking about the quiet time and having a special time with the Lord. This is part three, and we're looking again at Psalm 143, 8 to 10. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me. This is the word sometimes translated, save me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee, or the Hebrew is, hide me with thee, to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. In the Old Testament especially, there's a great emphasis on the obedience to God's law, and it gives you the better way of life. Psalm 22, or Proverbs 22, I think about verse 5, it talks about there's the froward way, and then there's the way to save your life or save your soul. And concept there is what Christ was talking about, the broad path and the narrow path. And he's saying that the broad way is when people just choose whatever they want. They base it upon their desires. They base it upon what would be satisfying to them. But he says it leads to death. Now, this is actually talking about leading to disease and grievous death. Whereas the way of God keeps you from all the entanglements of the devil, the snares, thorn snares. And as you you do this, he keeps you in this high and safe path that avoids all of that. If you just stop to think about it, if you follow God's will, there will be ups and downs. There will be sickness, there will be health, there will be money and lack of money and all these things. But there was a time when a politician had to stand before the folk and say, I've been unfaithful to my wife, I have asked her to forgive me and all this kind of stuff. So this type of thing, that never happens to the one who's staying true to God's plan. The New Testament focuses more on saved or lost, but anybody, saved or lost, can follow. You'll find this, actually. People have asked, how is it that I'm having all these difficulties, and I'm a Christian, but my unbelieving neighbor, things are going really well for him? Well, he may be following God's pattern better than you are. So after you get saved, check out God's way of life. And he points out, teach me to do thy will. Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. This is the best kind of life. And as people reject God, they end up rejecting God's way of life. And so they choose a dark path. They choose a path that's already had the landmines set in it by demons and others that have had all these thousands of years to perfect their stealth technology and lead us into paths of unrighteousness. One of the ways to do this is to have the simple quiet time. This is simply reading the Word of God and spending time in prayer. But for this third and last part, I want to deal with mining riches from God's Word. Mining riches from God's Word. This is where we add to the basic reading the idea of meditation. So meditate and pray. Joshua was told, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Out of thy mouth. In other words, you keep talking about the law of God. But thou shalt meditate. And the Hebrew here is, meditation is a talking low, speaking under your breath. This is kind of talking to yourself. Therein day and night, talk to yourself about the Word of God, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. this is where you think about it, you talk about it to yourself and to others, that you will be observant and observe to do all of it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, walking that good path, then thou shalt have good success, or you will do wisely. So people say, what's the key to success? Well, for the Christian, it's actually laid out for us. Success from God's point of view is to go a little deeper into the Word of God. So it's wonderful. In fact, it's basic to read the Word of God. But if you'll take some time, choose out of the passage you've read, choose one of them that seems to be maybe especially significant, seems significant to you, and read it over 3, 4, 5 times, saying it out loud if you are in a place where you can do that. As you say it out loud, you listen to what you're saying. You will find that sometimes, as you think about it, God says something that's not exactly what you expected. The story I tell is when I was meditating on all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I realized that as I'm following the thought, if I were saying it, all have sinned and come short of His perfect righteousness, have come short of keeping His law. But He said, the glory of God. And I thought, how does this make sense? What is He telling me here? See? And what I came up with in my meditation was that the glory of God is in His character, in His nature, and so the standard for man was taken from God's nature. That in the law, we find God described in human terms, anthropomorphically. There's a good word for you. Seemingly as a man. So the idea here is that you all have sinned and fallen short of the ideal that God had for us to be like Himself. So that's pretty good. I was meditating on a verse in Proverbs where it says that, let's see, how did it go? The net is spread in vain in front of a bird because the bird sees it and just leaves. And then it says, what does it go on? About the fool. It says something about the fool, and I thought, what's the bird got to do with the fool, and so on. And then I realized that what he was saying, making an analysis, an analogy. He says, now a bird, dumb little bird, little pea-brained bird, is smart enough that if you spread a net, he's not going to go step in it. But the fool, the devil has set the trap right in front of him, and he goes boldly in, steps right in it, and falls into the trap. Talk about a bird brain. And that was a comparison. It made it very, very enlightening. But it took some meditation, took some asking the question, why did he say that? Why did he put those there? And that's what you do. So meditating is thinking about the importance of every main word in the verse. Now sometimes the, or even and, becomes significant in the verse you're talking about, but usually it's one of the main words, like the glory of God, you know, that I was meditating on. So meditation is not just mentioned here. It's not only encouraged, but it's commanded in the Scripture. That was commanded to Joshua, meditate. Thou shalt meditate. These verses speak of meditation on God's Word. Let's look at those. Psalm 1, 1 to 3, while it doesn't, not here commanding it, it describes the successful man. Blessed is the man. This is the man whose life is happy, that he's happy. He's happy because things are good. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not getting his counsel from the ungodly people. He's not taking it from the world. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. This is the way is the path of life. And so who are you gathered around you, you see? Is it the sinners? Are you standing that way? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are the sarcastic, the people that are mocking the things of God. But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law, doth he meditate day and night. You say, well, I don't have time for that. Well, actually, you do. Because when you are engaged in an activity that doesn't require decisive thinking, habitual actions are perfect. For the most part, driving my car, I'm able to think and meditate on God. Not that I do that all the time, but it's a perfect time for it because I'm going a path that I know and my alarm is set to any cars coming up. I pay close attention to what's going on. But normally, just driving along, keep between the lines, stay away from the car in front of you, hopefully dodge the car behind you. Meditate in his law, doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This word river is actually here, the canals, the human dug water thing. This is often what they put this in so that it would water the trees on either side because they were these were fruit trees or whatever, olive trees, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also does not wither, does not fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The key to prosperity is finding God's way in the Scripture. And then this describes the benefits of meditation, prosperity, success. And Psalm 119:34, the prayer, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I will observe it wholeheartedly. This is the reward. This is the quest for meditation. So we must pray for understanding, for meditation to be effective for us. There are those who memorize the Scripture so that they can appear as a holy person by quoting it to others. And nothing really wrong with that, but get all the award you can here because there's no reward in heaven for memorized Scripture, as far as I can tell. However, if you memorize the Scripture so that while you're driving, you can actually meditate on that Scripture, this is a great idea. So I often will memorize a verse that I don't intend to keep on reviewing and have in my ready arsenal of speech that to say all the time. But I'm chewing on that like the cow chews the cud. I'm chewing on it, bringing it up from my memory as they bring from their first stomach and chew on it, and you're getting all the nutrition out of it you can. Well, that's the first part, meditate and pray. Then I would encourage you, in mining God's Word, to read consecutively. Do not read haphazardly through the Bible. That's better than not reading the Bible, you understand. But don't just set it on the thing, open it at random, point and read that chapter. Don't do that. The Bible was written to be understood, so read it in a book from first to last. One of the things that I have tried several times and found it to be deeply satisfying is to find a book. I was talking about Philippians in my class this morning. Philippians is a wonderful thing. It has four chapters. And it takes you very little time to read through it. So choose it, for instance, to read, and read it through every day for a month, over and over and over and over again. When I was doing this with the book of James, I thought after the first week, I probably should stop. After the second week, I was starting to get bored. Third week, it began to open up to me, and I eagerly went to the fourth week, where I found that now, instead of just remembering that what he said in chapter 2 made sense following chapter 1, I began to recognize that what he said in chapter 4, or the last chapter of the book, was connected to the first chapter. Because day by day, I was remembering what I just read the day before. And at the end of the fourth week, I was so excited about the book of James that I almost decided to go another month. But I realized that there were other books calling for this. And so I did go to some other books and do that. So I would highly recommend that. And Dr. Charles Woodbridge, evangelist from long ago, he said that's how he studied the Bible. And he said he didn't spend a lot of time memorizing whole passages, but he was just so familiar with it that once he started talking about it, it kind of rattled off in his mind. It was just like talking about an old friend. So don't read haphazardly. When I'm talking to young Christians, I encourage them to begin with the gospel according to John. This is because John was writing, he wrote the last, chronologically, the last of the four gospels, and he was writing to Christianity at large, or to the world at large, and was representing Christ as the Son of God. So this is a great way to think of Christ and to see him as John describes him. Then to continue to read through Acts and then on to Romans. Acts shows you how the church began, and then Romans shows you the establishing lecture that Paul gave to establish the church. He hadn't been able to get to Rome to do that, so he wrote it in the letter. But then you go on. After that, read all the four Gospels to get a full picture of the life of Jesus. Matthew was writing to the Jews explaining if he was the Messiah, why didn't he become the king? But he represents him as the king. It's Matthew that talks about the Magi that came, say, who is born king of the Jews? Mark writes with an emphasis to the Romans, who were big on their work, and so he represents Christ as the servant, God's servant, our servant. Then Luke writes, focusing upon the Greeks, and there Christ is represented as the perfect man. So you begin to see this, and what's happening is it's like you're moving around Christ, seeing him from all the different directions. And then again, John as the Son of God. Once you do that, then begin in the Old Testament and read all the way through. When you get to the New Testament, start with Matthew again, go on through. Matthew emphasizes a lot of commands, and that's really a great place to emphasize in your early Christian life. Just take the commands of God, do these things. That's the simplest way to begin to obey. And then after Romans, you get into all the rest of the New Testament and end with the glorious book of the Revelation, where he is telling us of things of the future. So eventually then, as you grow in Christ, you want to be reading all through the Bible and do this over and over and over again. The third and last thing then is to be diligent and develop understanding. Don't stop. Don't quit doing this. In the same way, an oak grows slowly but strongly. The oak is known for its strength. So you must plan to grow slowly, step by step. Now the Bible refers in the Old Testament, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Just saying it like that reminds you of what it's saying. Get it over and over and over again. Well, I've already read that. No, you haven't understood it yet, so read it again. You will not learn about God in a flash. Weeds, you know, grow up overnight. But heavy rain, wind blowing, they fall quickly to any attack. So learn diligence, keeping at it, by reading the Bible every day and every week and every month and every year. And you will find that your understanding grows deeper every time you read through the Bible. My wife was just saying to me the other day, I've read that passage lots of times, but I never really saw that. And that's what happens, an excitement of discovery, really every day if you spend the time to do it. So the quiet time, add to the simple reading, the mining of God's Word. And in that, I think you'll find a great blessing and one that leads you in your Christian life.